Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday. Listener discretion is advised.
We do Murder Monday to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. If you want to help out, if you think you might know anything, it's worth giving them a call at 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Liv, the web girl, covering Murder Monday today. What are you diving into?
So the case I'm talking about today is about Sage Smith. So it's November of 2012, and Sage is a trans woman living in Charlottesville, Virginia, and is 19 years old. She's in school for cosmetology, and she's living with two other trans girls, one named Shakira and one named Aubrey. It's Monday, November 19th, and the girls decide to have a party at their apartment for Shakira's 19th birthday. A woman barges into their apartment during the party, and she's angry and upset about some guy. She tries to start a fight, and they take it outside. It turns into an all-out brawl with everyone getting involved, and Sage ends up fighting with someone named Jamel. Someone ends up calling the police, and now a police report has to be made with Sage being involved. After all of this happened, Sage was very upset because her roommate Shakira never got involved with the fight and she didn't have Sage, her best friend's back during it. Shakira's upset and leaves and has family pick her up because she doesn't even want to stay in the apartment after what had happened. Before she left, Sage told her friend that she hated her. And that's the last time Shakira will ever talk or see Sage. Jamel, the guy Sage was fighting with, tweeted that night after the altercation and said, "Been disrespected to the point of no return," which seems super ominous. The next day, Sage wakes up her other roommate, Aubrey, while she's sleeping on the couch at 5:30 p.m., the day before Thanksgiving, and says that she's leaving for a date and will be back later that night. That is the last time she will ever speak to Aubrey. Aubrey realizes the next day that she never came home and she starts to get worried. She is calling her repeatedly and it's going straight to voicemail. Aubrey calls Sage's family and now they are all trying to get in contact with her. Sage's stepsister said she actually saw Sage the night before. She was on her way to a bus stop and ran into Sage while she was on the phone with someone. She remembered Sage telling that person, "I'll be there in 5 minutes." They part ways, and that was an hour after she had left her apartment at 5:30 p.m. They file a police report, and the police start searching. They're having no luck, so they put in a request to get her phone records, which can take days to get. In the meantime, her family starts trying to guess Sage's phone password to log onto her phone files from online. They guess it right and they find the last number she called, a phone number no one recognizes. Her dad starts calling it over and over and over again, but no one answers. That's when he turns to Facebook to see if anyone recognizes the number. Within a couple of hours, Sage's dad gets a message from someone named Yanni. And Yanni says she recognizes the number and it's a guy named Eric Mifadden. Yanni also says that he had been secretly dating Sage. Eric had a girlfriend at the time, and she had no idea that he was cheating on her, let alone cheating on her with a trans woman. Sage's dad turns to Facebook and asks if anyone had seen this Eric Mifadden guy, including a picture of him that Yanni gave Sage's dad. The police also end up with Eric Mifadden's name, but not because of Sage's dad. He was keeping his whole Facebook investigation under wraps because he knew what he was doing could be illegal, and he didn't want the police to stop the headways he was making. The police got Eric's name from a student named Esther from the University of Virginia. She is home for Thanksgiving, but she is worried because she can't get a hold of her boyfriend named Eric. So they do a welfare check at the apartment they share together, and he isn't there. So now we have Eric McFadden missing and Sage Smith missing.
Ooh.
When we come back, I will continue the story of the missing case of Sage Smith.
The Web Girl continuing the story today about Sage Smith.
Yes, so if you want to see pictures of Sage Smith and Eric McFadden, you can go to our Instagram at Radio Now AM Show. So when we left off, Sage Smith and Eric McFadden are both missing. Yanni went into the station the same day Esther called and called them because she was concerned about her boyfriend, Eric McFadden. Yanni told them everything that she had told Sage's dad. The police search Eric and Esther's apartment and find a receipt from CVS on November 22nd. They now know that Eric didn't go missing with Sage on the 20th. Eric calls the police on the 27th and says that he left Virginia and went to New York City because he's always wanted to go there, and that's the only reason why, which seems very suspicious to the police. He does admit to having a sexual relationship with Sage, and he says that the night of November 20th, he had plans to hang out with Sage, but she never showed up. He tells the police that he will come by the station, but it will take a couple of days because he has to travel from New York City to Virginia by bus. But Eric never shows up. He stops talking to the police altogether, but continues to talk to his girlfriend, Esther. Eric told Esther that he did meet up with Sage that night on November 20th, and they ran into a group of people that made him feel very uncomfortable, and he felt like they were after Sage. So he just decides to head out and ditch and leave the situation. The police and family find out that Sage had a history of getting involved with closeted men. Eric says that Sage even threatened him that she would out him if she didn't get exactly what she wanted. They decided to look into some of Sage's other men she had been involved with, but they all came back clean and could not have done anything on the night of November 20th. On December 3rd, 2 weeks after she went missing, police get a hit that her credit card was being used at a convenience store. And it's no one they expected to see. On the security footage, they see it is her roommate Aubrey using her credit card. When they question Aubrey, she says it's not a big deal because they always would just use each other's cards for a quick run to the store. But their friends notice that since Sage has been missing, Aubrey's been wearing her clothes, using her makeup, wearing her rigs, just using all of her stuff, which seems weird that someone would do after their best friend goes missing.
Yeah.
But some friends and the cops say maybe this is the way that Aubrey is coping after her best friend is gone. The case goes stale and they don't get any new leads or information until 2 months later. In February, a girl named Monica came forward and said that she saw and spoke to Sage the night she went missing around 7 p.m. at a restaurant. Sage told Monica she was meeting someone, and Monica left. It's November of 2015, and the police announce that they do not see Eric as a suspect anymore because of his digital footprint. He was on his computer from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. doing normal activity and say that he couldn't have done something to her and do something with her body without a car that he didn't have and in only 4 hours.
Side note, do we have an idea what he was doing between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. normal activity on a computer? Am I the only one I think knows where this one's going?
I mean, it could be video games. It could just be on Instagram. Who knows? But I get what you're saying, which in my case, I think 4 hours is a lot of time.
Unless you're playing a video game, maybe.
To murder someone and also to hide the body because they only have his digital footprint from 11 p.m. and they were supposed to meet at 5:30. Then in March of 2017, they classified the case as a homicide case. They say there's no specific reason for doing this. They just decided to switch it. And then they decide to make Eric a person of interest. They think Eric knows more than what he is saying. They can't get Eric in front of them, and he is still hiding to this day. They don't know if he's hiding because he was outed, if he was scared of someone, or if he had something to do with Sage Smith's missing case. They just don't know. And this is where the case stands today. They are still waiting for people to come forward with information in hopes that they can get some answers. And they are hoping and praying that someone can tell them where Eric McFadden is located.
Oh, I hate these cliffhangers, Liv. I hate cliffhangers.
I know. If you want to see a picture of Eric McFadden and Sage Smith, you can go to our Instagram at Radio Now AM Show.
Liv the Web Girl with Murder Monday. Thank you so much.